inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black non-monogamous feminist ho living in New York City, and
me, Rodeca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. Oh my God, why did I pick a tongue twister?
You're doing great. Welcome back. It's been a minute since we've done a full-length episode, but here is a full-length episode of the show. So usually we have two types of episodes on this here show: group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts today, we have Rebecca, talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, we usually come together and talk shit about sexual current events in our lives, the world, and yours. This episode is an interview episode, and it's a roundtable discussion on sex, dating, and desirability as a fat, masculine person. But before we get into that, we do have our little tiny segments, and they are Bay of the Week, Ho of the Week, and Pay a Ho. So if you would like to follow along with the conversation I had in this podcast, you can do so on social media by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
You want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or the other kind of topics we discuss on this show? Of course, we'd love to do it. If you'd like to book us, send a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And our first segment is
Bay of the Week.
I want to give a very special shout out to Ruby Johnson. Ruby was the guest on our open relationship coach episode from our Polygamy series, and after that interview, she invited us all to Poly Dallas Millennium, which is a conference for poly and non-monogamous people, and it was so good.
It was good watching the clips of you and Akua having a great
time. I'm sad that you weren't there, but next time she invited us back, we'll be back.
And
there.
I will be there.
Poly Dallas, and we'll talk about this more on the group episode that we do next week, and then we're taking a little break for the month of August, but there was just like so many beautiful people, so many black people, and so many people who were just like with the non-monogamous shit. So it was just refreshing to hear certain kinds of things like, oh yeah, if I walked in on my wife fucking da da da, I would just close the door.
Respect. Respect is key.
I was
key.
Like, bless the fuck up. And so many good keynote speakers, and we met so many cool people. We met the people from Afrosexology. We met Feminista Jones. We met Honestly Nay, who does this cool YouTube series about like sex positivity and stuff like that. We met Evita, who was on the series. We met Rosalind, who was on the series. So good, and just damn, son.
Good.
Yeah, that was a good time. And Dallas is nice, and there's a good dick in Dallas.
Oh, we gotta talk. Okay,
there's good dick in Dallas. Our next segment is Ho of the Week. So some hoes who paid us this week who get a special shout out are D.A.W., Madison P., Antoine M., Anna N., Kia, Amelia H., Calvin Pierce Jr., who is the ultimate plug, who actually told us about Evita and then Rosalind, so love him. He might have told us about Ruby too. Jasmine Elliott and Opulence Abundance. Of course, we are doing an event next week, July 28th, so I want to shout out all the sponsors for our event, but also all of our podcast friends who are donating materials to our swag bags to the event. So we got Tea with Queen and Jay, We Come From Queens, Enter the Minds, Perfect Cast, and Bag Ladies. And then finally, we have Amadi Richardson, who wrote a very nice self-development article about podcasts that can help with personal self-development. So shout out to Amadi. Very quickly, my self-care tip of the week is when your back hurts, roll around on a golf ball or a softball. Why are you looking at me like that?
I mean, they have foam rollers for that, no?
I use foam rollers, but I also use golf balls and softballs for targeted muscle therapy.
What is a softball? Like, not the one that you use to play softball, but
no,
like,
it is one that you use to play softball. Yeah, I need something hard and firm and like targeted.
I think I always thought a softball was like the equivalent to
a baseball. It's like a bigger baseball.
Yeah,
it is a bigger baseball. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can also use a baseball too.
You always have a golf, softball, or a baseball on hand. You are that type of bitch. I hear you. Because I'm like, where would I find one of those?
Well, I live in a house with two men who play baseball and golf.
Okay.
I don't know why there's a softball, but it's mine. I use it for my back.
Nice.
Anyway.
All right. Well, let us know how that feels if you guys do try it so that I can try it afterwards.
Hey, let's get into the actual show now.
Yes.
With the segment called Fuck It. So now we're going to get into our topic of the day, and that is fuck it. And today we're talking about masculine folks of size. And we're on a panel with four very awesome people, and they are, we have Dorfy, pronouns he and she, 28 years old. Dorfy loves to laugh and be emotional. Me too, Dorfy. Is it he and she, or should I just pick one and stick to it?
You can pick it, but I do like that people acknowledge my titties. Because I feel offended if someone says he and clearly like my tits are protruding today. It's my choice. Like, I will let you say he if you ask me to say he.
Okay, so but should I stick to she for today?
Whatever you prefer, now that you know who I am.
Have you acknowledged the titties?
Yes. Okay. I always acknowledge titties, though.
That's great.
That's a personal.
Take your pick.
He, with titties, majored in English. There is no correlation between his tattoos and his afro is on and off, has its on and off days. Today is a...
I would say it's on hiatus.
It's on hiatus.
For the summertime, because it's too hot. It's like cool. Wearing a hat.
It's like your favorite like CW 11 show. It's like on hiatus for the summer. That's cool. Dorfy is a... Nobody else watches CW 11? All right, cool.
Nah,
cool.
I do.
That's fine. You couldn't even laugh at my joke? Oh, you couldn't laugh at my joke either.
I was just waiting my time.
Damn, that's crazy. Dorfy is a thigh enthusiast who likes brown women with small eyes and terrible attitudes. He is a power bottom, so don't bother unless you fuck dykes. Bless up. I appreciate that. Then we have Yusef, a.k.a. Joe Lopez, a.k.a. J-Lo K, is a 31-year-old cishet man. He is the host of The Perfect Cast, a podcast that discusses current events, relationships, and taboo topics. Ay. Then we have another Joe. So you want me to pronounce the J softly?
Yeah.
Joe. Okay. And then we have Joe, who is a 27-year-old gender nonconforming black boy with an I, whose pronouns are they, bruh, and fam. They are the creator of the @blackboycomplex. You can find them on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And it's a virtual space for black QTGLBAI plus masculine identified folks and those that love them who are looking for representation. It specializes in black QTGLBAI plus the queer family events, artist community work, platforms, networking, and building community. They are also the owner of an inherited African art collection curated by their great-grandfather and a homeowner of the House of Ebony, a safe community events place. That sounds really cool.
August 5th, next party.
All right, bet. All right. I'll see you there. And then lastly, we have Rel. Rel is a black 27-year-old man. His pronouns are he, him, and his. He is one half of the newly revamped Cure podcast, or The Cure podcast, and one half of Cast Sound Labs Network's video podcast, Petty Preachers. And he guest hosts that show with Feast, who was on Big Femme season. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We can start off by just talking about the basics, your childhood. Let's start from there. Do you feel like your childhood was any different because of your size or anything like that?
My childhood was definitely different, you know, growing up bigger than everyone else. But I learned that early that I had to have something else. So I had jokes. I was always funny. So if you wanted to come at me, like, you had to bring it because I was going to make you cry. So like, it was like a defense mechanism. But then it like turned into like a popularity thing, and it just kind of fluid and just kept evolving it to, instead of making people cry, I got everybody laughing now. So just one of those type of things.
I would say me, I actually, when I was younger, up until like maybe 22, I wouldn't have considered myself, I just in general, I was just pretty skinny. This is just like recently acquired weight between like age and like medication I'm on and like other stuff. So, what I can do is compare how I'm treated now compared to how I was treated. And you know what I'm saying? I can definitely tell a difference, the way that people view me and treat me on a, like just on a regular day basis. And I think, you know.
Did you treat bigger people a particular way as a child?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But I was a bully. So if you had anything pop off, like it didn't really, but I don't think it was necessarily, I mean, probably, if you were, I remember there was this person specifically, I won't even say her name, but I definitely took advantage. I flirted with him. I treated bigger women like I flirted like I was going to fuck with him. I was going to date them. I was going to be their friends. And you know what I'm saying? And then I'd be like, you know, I just really need this homework. I just did, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't a really cool kid. So I'm not cool as in, I was cool, but I wasn't the type of kid that you would probably want around your children anyway.
Oh wow.
Damn.
Yeah, this is Dorfy. Growing up, I I didn't realize I was fat until I was not fat for a very brief moment in my life. I think it was 1 year. I think I was a sophomore. And I was on a basketball team. And people were like, oh, you lost weight. And I was like, I was fat? Like, nobody ever told me I was like, nobody said I was fat before. I had no idea that I was a fat person. And then, like, growing up, people just kind of assume you can fight because I've always been, like, very tall. I was always in the back of the line. My last name is, like, the end of the alphabet. I'm tall. So everybody's like, you're mad big. I'm not trying to fight you. I have no hands whatsoever. But, like, everybody assumes I do, and nobody wants beef with me. So it's been convenient in that way. Like, nobody ever wants to square up. So that was pretty much growing up for me. Like, I think maybe one or two kids would call me fat, but because it wasn't so often, and I think it comes with being masculine too as a fat person, that like they perceive you differently. Like, people will freely talk about fat people around me, and I'll be like, I'm fat. And they'll be like, you're not fat. And it's like, no, I am fat. Like, I'm really fat, actually. But they don't like take it seriously, I guess, because of, you know, being masculine. So that was my experience with it.
This is real. Growing up, like, it's always been fat, like, you know, from first K through 12. What really brought that to light was, like, being in high school, like, you know, you're in, like, gym class, like, changing with your fellow, like, peers or whatever, and then, like, I guess the athletes, the jocks, whatever, like, had this like little game. Anybody that was, like, chunkier, they would, like, just, like, grab them by the nips and whatever. So, I mean, you know, I'm a big guy, so I have, like, I guess, moves, man moves. So, you know, I know where I was, like, what I was and who I was, like, growing up. But that didn't, like, really faze me. Like, my brother right here, Yusuf, he, as long as I had the jokes, I kind of, like, used it against people. So, like, so you about to say, oh, yeah, I'm at a buffet all day. Like, yeah, because I'm hungry and I'm going to be the first one to eat. So I'm going to, like, use it against you. So that was, like my life, like, really going on. Just, like, being, like, defensive and, like, you know, ready to come back at you.
Cut your own ass first mentality. Right. Like, if I cut my ass so good,
right,
what else can you can't beat my jokes about myself?
Because I heard it all. Yeah. So it's like, what else? What else you got?
Oh, no, my hands worked. So, yeah. Like, you would have tried that shit, then I was hitting. So, yeah.
Is that why you learned how to fight?
No, I actually boxed. So I actually wasn't always a bigger guy. Like, I was just like a regular kid. I was actually not tall or anything. I just got this massive growth spurt in high school. And that's when I started playing football. So, yeah, I actually broke my hand really bad, and that's what ended my boxing career. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that when we were walking in, like, all right. That's all right. I probably would have got washed.
I think I skipped an important question, which is just, do you guys mind the word fat? Do you guys identify with that word? Is it something like that's taboo? Because people tend to think that it's inherently negative, but I think it is kind of how you own it. But do you prefer, like, fat, plus size, like?
I always call myself a big nigga.
All right. Hey.
I don't know. It's difficult. It depends. It really depends on how I feel that day. Like, I think you need to know that the person is comfortable being fat before you call them fat. Just, yeah. And that's with anything. You just have to know who you're working with, your audience. Is this person okay with anything that I call them? So that's pretty much how I stand with it. Like,
I think growing up for me, I was just like, I always seen it as, like, you know, an embarrassing word and like a curse word to me. And it wasn't, like, honestly, probably, like, recent, like, I want to say, in my adult life, I'm 27 now, so I want to say maybe 21, 22-ish, I didn't, like, came to, like, full terms, like, yo, this is just another word, but I prefer, like, you know, I am a big nigga, but if you want to call me fat, hey, whatever you see, I'm fat, that's who I am, so.
But which one do you prefer?
I prefer big nigga, I prefer fat, large dude. Like, I don't, like, those, like, type of words don't, like, faze me as much no more. Because it's like, I'm not going to change overnight. So it's like, it's either you accept who I am right now or vamos.
Yeah, like, I honestly just never had those problems, like, with those type of words. Because, like I said, my hands did work and I did have the jokes. So I was always a cool dude. So I never really had those problems. Like, so if someone did use those words to me, it was to, like, go at me. And I was ready, like, to give it back. So yeah, it's just never bothered me.
I think this is Joe. I don't think I would call myself fat because my weight fluctuates so much. Like, I can't really call it, you know, like, right now I'm 180. Last year I was 160. I don't think that qualifies as what the world or society, at least in America, would consider fat. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely, you know, I know that I call myself a bear. Like, I'm a little teddy bear. And that's it. Like, knowing that I'm coming with rolls and, you know what I'm saying, and little secret compartments in my side. Like, that's just, it's what I'm coming with.
I wanted to get back to something you said, Dorfie, where you were like, as a masculine person growing up, it was like more okay to be bigger, or more accepted, or people wouldn't fuck with you, I guess. Did you see, and all of you, did you see bigger feminine people getting fucked with? And how did that, like, how did you position yourself against that, knowing that you were also like of size?
Well, yeah, I only date femmes. So like, I would date other women that are large too. And I would see, like, my first girlfriend, you know, she had an eating disorder. You know, it was really, really tough dealing with her. And I couldn't really understand, because people, my family didn't tell me I was fat. My friends didn't tell me I was fat. And I don't think it was necessarily that they didn't think I was fat. I just think they didn't feel like they could tell me that. They were maybe afraid to tell me that. But I think people are more freely allowed, in a sense, to speak negatively about women's bodies and how women look in a society. So I have seen, yes, my counterparts are treated worse than I am, or made more fun of for overeating or whatever, the same habits I am. And a lot of times they were smaller than me, but they would get more of the flack than I would.
Did you, did that make you feel any kind of way, or did you, was there, were you like a bastion of support for them or anything like that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I can't say that I was, because I just recently realized that I was fat. Like, I knew I was fat, but I'm recently coming into being an advocate for fat people, because, like, growing up, I was fat, but I was athletic. So, and I remember looking at myself and being like, wow, you're fat, so fat. And now I'm like, whoa, you are way fatter than you were then. So it's like, wait, like, I would kill for that fat body that I had before. So now I feel like I'm, in a sense, like, I have to, like, be more supportive of other fat people, because in embracing myself, I think the easiest way to embrace yourself sometimes is embracing the people that are like you. If I look around, none of my friends are fat, it's kind of like, do I really like fat people? Like, I had to really ask myself, if none of my friends are fat, is this something that I support from within? So I've been surrounding myself with other people that are larger, and in that way, it goes full circle. It's like, I support myself, I love myself even more just by being around people that are similar to me.
Yeah, this is Joe. I would definitely agree with that. You know, like, as I've gotten bigger, and, you know, I realized, like, oh wow, like, there's like a whole community. There's a whole community of bears out there doing bear shit. And, like, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole community of women who fuck with that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's not as, at first, I used to really beat myself up about it. Like, oh man. But, like, now I'm just like, no one's really checking me. No one's actually, just as a masculine of center person, like, no one's really coming for me. And I was like, oh, yo, shut your fat ass up. Like, no one's talking to me crazy, because I just, number one, I'm not having it. But number two, I think I've just found the right community to where I don't really have to be a part of those toxic environments where somebody would, like, just straight up call me fat. If anything, it's black first, fat second, like, you know what I'm saying? But as far as how I've stood, like, come to bat for, you know, femme women or femme people who are, you know, fat as well, or I can't, I mean, now I definitely, I'm not having it, but before, no, like, but before, I didn't really stand up for a lot of different things.
I would say in my experiences, I kind of have the opposite experience. I feel like the women in my life have, like, the bigger women in my life have always had it easier going. I feel like.
Than you?
Yeah, like, well, just like than men, than bigger men. Because, like I said, I have a ton of friends, some fat, some skinny, so it is what it is. And I would just see that I would always have to put in twice the work just to get the same distance as someone who wasn't big. But when it came to the bigger women, they, like, somebody's always calling. Like, people might talk shit, but they were never lonely. So
we're talking about romantic relations.
Romantic relations like that. Yeah, that's the only way I would.
Like, with the women, like, you know, like, my other counterparts, I recently just, like, started getting comfortable again, like, maybe I want to say 2011, 2012-ish, where I just, like, started seeing, like, at the end of the day, if Feast, who's on the podcast before, like, if I'm just hanging out with her and, like, me and her just chilling, I shouldn't have to think about, like, what others, like, are thinking. And so I just, like, started becoming comfortable as far as, like, you know, waiting to wait until like hear what other people have to say, if they really have the guts to say it out loud. But I know it never like comes to that. I wanted to be comfortable just sitting next to my friend, and I don't want nobody to mess with us, no, especially her, because I like very protective, and I just didn't like, I didn't want to feel that way no more. So I was like, fuck it. If people like, I have a double negative already as far as me and a black male in society and like what's going on. I don't got time to like worry about like what people think if I'm fat and whatnot, because that is, no, I have to worry about trying to survive and stuff.
So you're saying before like the question came into your mind, like you were scared when you were with Feast, because it was like, oh, we're two big people together.
Two big people, and like the like what others like perceived of it, like of us like hanging out in a restaurant or like a lounge and like, you know, dogging out a plate of wings or french fries. Like I was like scared of like what others perceived.
Was that an internal fear, obviously based on societal standards, or had something happened to you guys?
It was definitely an internal fear, because it's like, you know, society is like is whack, and like they always want to joke make fun of you at the like littlest things. They look for the like the littlest things, like, oh, two fat people sitting there, they probably order a lot of shit. Like it was like that was always like grinding and like going in my mind. So I was like, nah, it comes to the point where I just need to stop worrying about it, because there's like bigger things to worry about. Like I said, being a black male and like whatever society like going through, especially with the like cops and stuff. This is little on the plate. And I was tired of like thinking about stuff like that.
I think one thing that I've went through that I think maybe gave me an advantage and why I never felt this way, I always judged my size and how I felt about myself based on my success with women. And since I always had success with women, it didn't bother me. I always said to myself, man, if I couldn't get her, then I'll lose that weight next week. But I got her, so it's mine. So I always it didn't bother me. So like, I think like listening to these stories, I'm like, damn, like it could get a lot worse. So, you know, I'm sorry that y'all had to go through that. Like, you know what I mean? Get them hands working.
I agree, actually. This is Joe, and I definitely agree. Like, if I was having a lot of the times, just as a masculine presenting person, like, or just a masculine centered person, like, I used to at least base my value off of how many women I could get, how many women were interested in me, what my messages was looking like, you know? And if it was dry, if it ever were dry, I'd be like, yo, what's going on? Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's never really, except for when I first gained weight, then that it dipped a little, the type of women that I was getting. Like, it's like I got a completely new genre of women, I guess, type of women who are interested in me.
Explain.
So, okay, so for instance, like, you know, I'm from Atlanta. I used to be in Atlanta, and I could get, like, some flat, like, bad stripping, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm talking about just bad Magic City looking girl.
Okay, I was going to say, give us an Instagram model for reference.
Like
Malaya?
Like, who?
Oh, I don't even
I'm sorry. But, no, I don't. Like, you said Dang. Mariah?
No, Malaya.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I'm sure she's fine.
Like Bernice.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, nah.
Are they on TV? Because I don't watch TV.
She's on Shade Room, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch. I don't know anything about that. I just know
that. Oh, like, you're not having like social media like that.
I am, but my community.
Oh.
Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? So my vision is different now.
Okay, cool.
But just like what you would expect. Like,
10 out of 10 baddie.
Yeah, 10, just bad, just all around everything. And now I weave and like really like into images and like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, selfie taken and mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying, just as much into their image as I would be into mine, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like now it's just like, but I don't know if it has to do with the weight, because the weight came with age. So I don't really, but now it's different. Like, you know, I get women who are just chilling, like they don't give, like even though my girl that I have now, she's like, I don't care, like you the first, you know what I'm saying, teddy bear nigga that I ever fuck with, and I don't care. Like, you know, I fuck with your belly, I fuck with your thighs, and that's just what it is. If you lost weight, I fuck with that too. Like, it's just you. Like, you know what I'm saying, that's the type of women that I'm dating now. And maybe that has to do with the age, maybe that just has to do with how I carry myself. Mm-hmm. Cause for a whole year when I gained that weight, I was like, oh, like sweatpants and t-shirts all day, like mm-hmm. I wasn't dressing up, I wasn't making myself look like nothing, like I was just kinda like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out and say that I had no bitches ever for a long time. It wasn't because I wasn't fat before, I ain't have none, and then I got fat, I ain't have none. It was just like a state of mind thing. So I think it's like after I turned maybe like 23 and I realized like, all right, I'm really into this fat thing. I think I'm gonna be fat for a long time. I think I'm gonna commit to it now. So once I committed to it and I understood like I'm finna be a fat nigga for a minute, I feel like all the bitches came pouring in. And I think it was really just myself. Like, I did get bigger, but I got more women. And it was because I acknowledged who I was. I became cool with who I was. Like, I just started swagging what I had to work with. And that's how it worked out for me. So I think a lot of times, like, you could pull the baddest bitch, quote unquote baddest bitch, whatever that bitch looks like to you. You could pull them at any time in your life, as long as you feel confident with who you are, you're comfortable with who you are, and you exude in that love.
Is that a masculine privilege?
No, it's not a masculine privilege. It's not. Masculinity to me is, all right, I don't want to, you know, get ruffled no feathers or whatever.
You ruffled mine.
Masculinity is not really a thing, in my opinion. Like, the masculine life chose me. I didn't choose it. Because I'm a very large person, I'm very tall, and I've been called he without choice for such a long time that I think society decided I was a masculine person. But like I say, like, I made a point to put it in my bio, I throw it back, because I need people to understand that no matter how I look, I acknowledge my womanhood. My womanhood is very important to me. So masculinity is really something that people place on you. And a lot of the women I date are masculine in personality and masculine in just who they are, as how they move about life. Like, very fast, very aggressive women. Like, I'm dainty. You know, I'm soft-spoken. I'm feminine. But I'm perceived as masculine, and that's why I call myself a masculine person. But I think it's really all made up, in all honesty. Masculinity, femininity, we're all on the spectrum. Nobody's on either end of the spectrum. We're all somewhere.
I definitely agree with what you're saying, but I do think that there is a certain privilege for people who are masculine presenting in being able to date the baddest whomever.
I agree. I definitely agree. Just as somebody who moves around masculine spaces and stuff, mm-hmm. and what I see, like, and you know, I've just kind of been doing this for like so long, and like I never knew what a dyke was till somebody called me a dyke. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I get what you're saying. Like, we're given that, mm-hmm. but then we like, kind of feels good, and yeah. then we just take off with it running. We let it sit on us. You know what I'm saying? I get a little, when I walk in the club and I'm a little bit different, and even if I'm around, you know, cisgendered, you know, heterosexual men, they still like they either two things. They either dap me up and show me love just mm-hmm. as a masculine person themselves, like, oh, yo, you got all the man,
yeah.
or they, you know, puff their chest up or whatever. But I definitely, I feel like there's just no way you could navigate the world in as a masculine presenting person or as a masculine person and not kind of starts to stick to you the different things, mm-hmm. the privileges that come with that. You know what I'm saying? There definitely are privileges, like the fact that, you know, femme women are like really doing a lot of, like, I don't, to be honest, most of my niggas is teddy bear niggas. Like, most of them are teddy bear niggas, and they don't be like, oh man, I need to lose weight, man. Oh man, my body, man. Like, they don't really be like, and we talk, we're just like, yo, I need to just, you know, I can't breathe a little bit when I walk up those stairs. Like, but it's never like no real deep shit. Whereas like my femme fat friends, like, are really, and yeah, they do be lonely. They be lonely sometimes. And it's sad, cause don't nobody really throw them no play. I walk in with a whole bunch of groups, my femme friends leaving, the smaller skinnier ones are leaving with somebody, and my femme friends, the bigger ones are just like, I'm just here to support my friend. Like, they try to, you could tell they try to like play it off, but they don't get what the skinnier femmes get, whereas all my niggas, big, small, we all leaving with something. That's not the case for femmes, so there has to be something to look at there, even if it's not, we can't prove it. I feel like that's the proof.
I feel like as the only fat woman in the room, well, femme in the room, I it's different. I think it is a confidence thing, because I can definitely agree with that. I, at the end of the day, I look the same way that I looked in high school. I don't think that I've changed at all. But it's just different when I started to accept myself as a different person, and not even black first, femme first, all those things, but then that was a part of it. People would fetishize the fact that I was a larger woman, and I was like, okay, I'm fat, this is something that I should probably like cash in on. But I never wanted to do that. I just felt like, I just want to be myself and you accept me for who I am. But yeah, you kind of get looked over immediately, and I've always been the biggest group person in any group, so it's just like, oh, I look around at all my friends and I don't realize I'm fat until I realize I'm the biggest one when we get on the scale. Everybody's talking about like, oh my God, I weigh 110. And I'm like, I weighed 250 today. So it's just different. But at the same time, there's privileges because I don't walk into a room and get dapped. I get like, oh, maybe I could, if I don't get anybody else, maybe she could be the last person on the list. Who knows? But at the same time, it is confidence. If you do get that confidence, eventually it's just like you don't care if you leave with anybody at the end of the night, but you do have to accept there's a chance that you're not leaving with nobody. Like, it's just what it is, unless you got that one person who's just into you for your personality, because that's important, of course.
I wasn't sure if, like, I feel like the privilege is context sensitive. I feel like it depends on the woman that you're trying to court. Now, my masculinity can be something against me if I'm trying to court a woman that, you know, can identify toxic masculinity, can identify the misogyny and things. So you have to be on point. So I think as I evolve, my masculinity changes. So I think when I was younger, the stronger masculine image was what attracted women. But now as I'm older and I'm meeting women who are learning and they're teaching me things, you know, some of them will knock me down a peg, like, wait a minute, like, you know, this is not right. So, like, some of my best friends have knocked me down a peg, like, every now and then. So, I appreciate it. So, like I said, I feel like the privilege all depends on who you're trying to court.
I want to talk a little bit about, or we wanted to talk a little bit about the sexuality that's perceived coming from bigger masculine individuals. So, I think everybody here at some point has said, like, this bear thing. Oh, sorry. Maybe only you said that. I'm sorry.
What if it's the big nigga, like, name?
That season that comes around.
Big nigga season. Exactly. You already know it's coming
season.
Up.
Yeah. It's all fall. Season over here. I don't know.
So, just some general thoughts about this. Oh, they're teddy bears, or it's big nigga season, or, you know, you're comfortable and things like that.
I'm going to say that big nigga season is real, low-key. I don't usually get into... It's when it's cooler outside, because I sweat profusely and I don't date new women in the summertime, because nobody's going to accept my sweat when I pull up on a date and I'm real hot. It's a bad look. So I try not to spring that on anybody, you know, any new people. So I'll spring it on you in the fall when it's a light, you know, I'm glistening a little bit, which brings out my bronze. So it works for me. So I'll meet new women in the fall. So I'll say our season is anytime it's not blazing hot outside.
I would say you have a nice glisten right now.
God bless you.
She does.
I appreciate that. I needed that.
Nah, but I definitely think it's definitely like the fall, winter, like that whole area. That's big nigga season for sure. Because, you know, summer is for the skinny niggas. Like, you work hard all year for that body. It's time to show it off. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not going to get you at the pool party, but let me catch you at the museum in the fall with my layers on. You know what I mean? When I got my good cardigan on. You know what I mean? That's when I look my best. So that's on. So like that, for me, that was always big nigga season, like sweatsuit weather.
I definitely had people try to play me with that big nigga season shit, but I'm not off that. Like, you're going to take these fucking 20-pound titties every fucking day. And that's just really what it is. But I did, like, the young girls, like, when I was, like, having, like, a dating spree, they used to try, like, during the wintertime, they used to, like, oh, you know, I could come over, we could cuddle. I'm like, I'm also a great cuddler. I'm like, we could cuddle. And I'm good. Like, you know, if you just coming over to cuddle, no. Like, big nigga season, I'm not on cuddling.
Are you on during big nigga season?
I'm not on nothing. I'm on the same shit I'm on during. Look, you know, they showing off their body. My gut's out too, like, crop tops too. Like, I'm doing it too, because it's just like, I don't care. Like, you're not going to police the way that I do things. I look fly in my summer wear, and I look fly in my winter wear, and maybe, like I said, I'm coming on a different spectrum than this. I never hit more than 200 pounds. I don't know what it's like, to, you know what I'm saying, titty sweat is real. That's a whole ecosystem under there. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta do what we gotta do, but, you know, I won't subscribe to it. If you're not gonna just give me a season, it's not happening, no.
Big nigga season to me, I want to say, starts around the time of maybe late September to, I want to say, April-ish, depending on especially what we had this year, this weather. But about to mid to from September to mid to April, it's crazy, because I always know it's that time when people I haven't heard from since last April, like, come out of the woodwork. Like, oh, hey, how's it going? I feel like I haven't heard of you. Like, yeah, I've seen your Insta story. You've been at the beach with John Smith, and like I didn't, my phone didn't ring because you know I wasn't invited, but hey, so I'm like, I know what time of season that is, and don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna knock it down, because too, if I'm feeling lonely, you're available, whatever. But I know what time it is around that time, and but it's like back to what you were saying, it's all season for me regardless, because so it's like I'm looking, like I'm at the point in life where I'm looking to settle down, and I don't got time to like play with like your emotions, and no, I don't want nobody to play with my emotions, because it is big nigga season. You're just looking for somebody to cuddle in the winter time when it's like a nor'easter outside. Like, no, you know, I don't have time for that.
What, they think you got the snacks,
right? And then that's when Netflix and chill really popping for like big niggas, because like they either have nobody else and they just need somebody warm. So like cuddle like right up like your man boobs or like your crevices. And in fact, I just don't have time.
Big facts. They put your feet in your, yo, women put their feet in your right. thighs, bro.
Right.
I do that to all niggas. I just have cold feet.
How about your back foot?
I think we briefly touched on a stereotype, which is thinking that you always got the snacks. Can you guys talk about like any other stereotypes that you, I've heard the always have snacks cuddles. Too.
And I do always have the snacks.
I do have snacks as well.
You don't like to cuddle?
No, I don't like to cuddle. Like, I'm big, I'm hot, I got a lot of body heat. Like, I think that's a myth, like that big people like to cuddle. We might feel comfortable because another dude feels like a bunch of textbooks, but it's like, okay, like we got a good 10 minutes, ma. And then I'm a cuddle you to sleep and then slide from under you. Like, that's all I got.
I don't really see the snacks as a stereotype for me, at least, because it's like right before I started recording here, I'm fucking like blitzed, like I'm high. So I always have snacks, of course. I'm fucking big. So regardless of the fact if it's big nigga season or not, it's for me. The stereotype I see is, let me talk about my experience. So the stereotype I always get is when I'm waiting outside on a club, like getting to like a club or a bar or whatever, and stand next to security guards, like, oh, you're big, you're built like a football player, or you could do security. Like, no, I graduated with a computer science degree. A lot of people don't know this, but I did shit with NASA, so it's like I'm better than just being this big guy and doing security. I'm not knocking nobody who does security. That's, if that's your preference, that's your preference. But I'm in computer science. I'm basically working with the youth and try to teach them how to better, like how to be technologists. So it's like, no, that's you. Don't like classify me like as you like an even a backup person or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's the thing I get too, like, you know, stereotypes, you know, football, I always play football, like random ass sports, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Just random ass shit, like rugby. No, like what? Like,
like, no, I have asthma. Like, how, yeah, you don't know, like, how you know I like to run around? Like, yeah, no.
But then on the opposite spectrum, like, you know, they assume that you, oh man, we just doing a lot of walking. Like, I like to walk. Like, why you ain't invite me to a walk? Like, it's a fucking walk. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, some niggas don't like to walk, but like,
I would Uber to a walk. Like, yeah, if you're in a race or whatever, I would Uber there. Like, I would cheer you. I'm not gonna walk, be a part of it. Like,
I'm gonna be a part of the walk. Invite me to the walk. Invite me to the beach. Invite me to all your social activities, and let me choose. You know what I'm saying? But invite me, like, you know what I'm saying? Well, like, I gotta, like, I know you could cook. Yes, I can cook, but like, you know, and yes, I do got the snacks, but I ain't got nothing to do with me being, you know what I'm saying, a fat nigga. That's just, I just, you know, I do like to eat, but I would like to eat regardless. I think it's just the stereotypes that they see on TV and all that other bullshit obviously perpetuates in real life. And like, that we might stink. Like, I don't know, like stupid shit. Like, no, real talk. Like, people think big, that's a thing. Like, and I'm just like, what the fuck stink? Like, you know what I'm saying? You need extra deodorant. Like, nigga, I'm good. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just stupid, just really stupid things. So many of them.
Yeah. Speaking about the walking stereotype, it's not fair because I don't like to do anything at all. So it's not fair to just single out right. walking.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, I don't want to walk, but I also don't want to listen. I don't want to, you know, read. Nobody, I don't want to do a lot of things. Like, that's not fair to say, oh, because you're fat, you don't want to walk. It's just because I don't want to do shit.
I just not. So no activities,
you gotta,
period.
Put that in there too.
Do you see how many inventions they have? They have roller skates, bikes, cars, motorcycles. Nobody likes to walk.
Right. Like I said, I will Uber to a destination. Like walking, I'm not walking.
Walking is just poverty.
That's only all. Joe likes to walk.
I like hiking. I like going out. And active activities is just like, you know, I like to be a part of nature. That's just kind of what it is. But like, give me an opportunity. And a lot of my big nigga friends like doing that shit too. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's one of the really stupid stupid stereotypes, but that bigger people aren't active. When, right. Like, there's bigger niggas who will, like, outrun you.
Outrun
like,
you, yo.
Just because you're skinny does not mean that you're fit.
Yo.
Or healthy.
No, absolutely.
Or healthy, yeah.
I think one of the stereotypes that sucks, though, is, like, they always say, I'm a football player, but I was, though, so it's like, it's always like, okay, right. You're right, but don't say that. Like, and they'll be like, oh, I see our, like, I can tell by your legs that you play football, and I'm like...
Type of slavery auction
right,
shit.
Like, right, like they,
that's
like,
weird.
I literally like walk like where I live in DC. Like football is everything. So I'll walk out of the liquor store and a woman will walk up behind me. You played football, didn't you? I can tell by them legs. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just like judge me? Like you valued me? Like,
absolutely, I do play football. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I was about to say my smart ass would be like, thank you.
No, but see, I do. So I just the only stereotype that sucks is the snacks one because I feel like I wish I always had the snacks.
Right.
Because I smoke so much weed, so it's like.
Well, why don't you always have the snacks? What's going on?
Because I eat it when I smoke.
I eat full meals. I don't eat snacks.
But see, I eat and then I smoke again, and I already ate, and there's no more snacks. So it's like, I wish I had the snacks.
You gotta stock it up.
I cook shit. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. I made like a breakfast taco the other day, yo.
It's always breakfast
candy,
tacos, right?
Candy bacon, some egg yo. Shit. Candy bacon, strawberry salsa, my nigga. That shit was
that sounds
salsa.
Very good.
Yo. That sounds very bougie.
Yes, yes. But that's the type of, you know, but like we're bigger people are more like innovators or creators. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the shit that I saw somebody post like, oh yeah, they put like the takeout napkins underneath they titties. I was like, bruh, fucking what? Like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Titties. I'm like, yo, I know. Like, I didn't even think about perfect size, perfect shape, collect the moisture. Like, you know, but we own our shit. And I think, you know, big people should be celebrated. You know, like you should, people post, like when people post shit on Facebook about like, you know, it'll be literally a bigger woman and all she'll do is this. And like they're like, oh, she's so active, yo, she did. Like, I'm like, she's dancing.
All
like,
Joe did was move.
She's just fucking dancing, their arms, bro. Yeah. Like, or like when big girls, like when I think you know the person who did, and this is a perfect example, the black woman who did Beyonce's Coachella performance. Yeah. She filmed herself doing it,
mm-hmm.
and she was hitting all the moves, mm-hmm. and she went viral. I don't think it was because she just did it on move. No, I mm-hmm. think it was because she was a big black woman and they did not expect for her to be able to hit those mm-hmm. moves. So it was like a phenomenon. And you see that shit all the time.
You get called miraculous and yeah. it's like, wait, hold on. She just got out of bed today. Chill, chill.
You are so brave.
But it's like, I'm not mad at that though, because I feel like the world just needs to see yeah. different people. And sometimes it is. I sit there and I go like, I could do that. But it's like, I didn't do it and I wasn't on camera when I did it yesterday, so I wasn't in the media and the world doesn't have any perception of me besides I'm eating today. So I think like even though to us it's like kind of a commodity, like yeah, we know fat people could do that, I think it's really necessary. Even though it's the most common shit, I think it's real necessary that fat people are seen.
Mm-hmm. I think visibility is important, but I think we need to ask a question like, who is this visibility, like who is it for? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it actually doing and how is it helping people? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that changing anything? And we're like, oh, here's a fat person dancing.
It reminds me of like disability porn, like when yeah. someone who's disabled does anything and they're just like, yeah, but like, do you fight for like disabled rights after you watch that video?
Wait,
or
the jig,
not actual porn, like porn as something that's exploitative of people. So just disabled people doing anything.
Really. Oh, gotcha. So and inspiring.
Exactly. Like that's not what I live for, not to inspire you.
But I do feel like there's just baby steps to it. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, before it was not seen at all. So even though, yeah, people are seeing it, like, I think I came along with the natural hair movement too. People were kind of like fetishizing it. Like, yeah, I'm natural. I'm going natural. But it was a view of people that hadn't been seen for a long time. So even though it becomes a bandwagon sort of thing to jump with it, I think it's a good thing to bandwagon versus some of the other things.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I would even challenge that in saying, okay, so now black women are natural and everyone loves black women, well, black women's natural hair, but black women still are being treated like shit. So like, at the same time, like, the visibility is there. Yes, it's important for all of us to realize, like, you know, your hair as you is fine, but then what? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think with black women, like black, especially black fat women or bigger women, like, okay, like, but then what? Because you still not holding doors for them. You still not, like, you know what I'm saying, doing all these integral things that you would do with skinnier, more pretty presenting women, you know, pretty, you know what I'm talking about, like, all women are pretty to me, but I'm just saying, like,
conventionally attractive.
Conventional, there we go. That's the word. Conventionally attractive. I call it the little fizz factor. Like, conventionally.
Wait, you have to explain that for like 1 second.
Absolutely.
So I have a thing. It's called the little fizz factor. And I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter what race you are. Or, uh-huh. I mean, specifically, it goes for black and like people of color. But if you have, if you look, you know, feminine, for masculine people, if you look feminine, but still a little bit of masculine, light skin, so they don't really know what kind of race you are. You got the nice hair, you know what I'm saying, a nice smile. You know what I'm saying? That's a little fizz. Like, it doesn't matter if you're lesbian, you're dyke, you're straight. It doesn't matter. People fucking gunning for you. They fucking with you. Wow. They fucking with you. Shout out to Diddy's three kids. Like, them three little boys, or is it only two of them that got the little fizz factor? Yeah, it's only two of them that got the little fizz factor. But they who they are because of the little fizz factor, like, you know what I'm saying. And I think that, but with women, I think you can get the little fizz factor too, but maybe you could call it whatever else, like, you know what I'm saying. But light skin, curly hair, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying. So anything is close to, and skinny with a pretty body, yeah, anything is close to that. And I don't think black women, especially darker skinned black bigger women, are getting any fucking anything, really. Mm. They're not getting nothing. I'm sorry. They not though.
I would like you to counter argument, but just quickly, Little Fizz is a member of B2K. In case you have no idea what's going on,
I just wonder, do I have B2K or Little Fizz privilege? Because your hair, your smile, like,
you do, you do,
yeah,
you do. I'm sorry, you do.
You have proximity.
First of all, don't
to Little
ever call
Fizz.
Me Little Fizz ever again.
No one said you. No one called you Little Fizz. That's the factor.
I'll prefer to have Omarion privilege. I just want to throw that out
there.
I don't
want though. Anything like with B2K just, privilege.
I want a thesis about the proximity to Little Fizz.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a fucking
joke. He is a strong single father, so respect that man. But
what's it called? Some emotion.
I don't have a counter. I was nodding because I completely agree.
That you don't get anything.
Yeah, I think. Well, I would get. That's not nothing. That's crazy. But I think racial ambiguity and just being like having a symmetrical type of face is what society and likes. Like, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that there's people that you think are cute because you think they're cute because you see them, and people who, like, everyone looks at them and universally are attractive. So I think that was actually pretty perfect, because I don't think Lil Fizz is attractive, but I understand that a lot of people do. Yeah. And I don't, yeah, I mean,
everyone
he's not
knows
for
Jay
me.
Bug. Jay Bug was the finest motherfucking one in the group.
I was like being trained for Razzby for a long time. Like, I, you know, like, I was gay growing up, and I was like, I don't really want to pick none, and nobody likes Raz B, so I love Raz B. Like, that's my
Raz
shorty right
B
there. Like,
too.
Did you, I feel like you giving me, you genuinely loved Raz B, though. It came from your soul just now when you said that. You were like,
she did like him.
I loved Raz B.
Also, I have issues with conversation. I have, but then also, like, everybody, like, left him out to dry when he was like, yo, Chris Stokes trigger warning is fucking harassing me.
Yeah, they left
everybody
him
left him out to dry. I got love for you, Raz B, if you're listening.
Shout out to Raz B.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to ask this question in the same vein of, like, if just fat femmes in general are not getting love, do you guys date fat femmes? Like, do you date exclusively fat femmes? Do you not exclude just because? Or do you, like, have hang-ups about dating another fat person?
I have no exclusions on who I date. I just don't date white people. But that's because I know that someone in their family is racist and I'm going to have to pop off on them. Stats show that, you know, it is what it is. But I've always loved big women. I love regular, like, the regular conventional sizes, slim chicks. They all have their advantages. It's like Fab said, you know, when they slimmer, you get deeper in it, and when they thicker, you come quicker. It's 100% fact.
I don't want to quote Fab on this show.
I know, right? Damn, I had to cancel Fab, so that sucks.
Yeah.
Skirt.
Yeah, I had to cancel him, but.
You know what? It's funny because that sounds like something he would say.
That's something any man who dates women of all sizes would say. Like, it's 100% fact.
Wait, what? Would say, what did you say? Skinny, really? You get in them deeper. What was the line again?
You're misquoting.
I'm sorry. Fabulous. Oh no, treason.
No, but but it was on the song Slim Thick, and, you know, he was talking about different sizes. And he said, you know, and he was just trying to, like, basically highlight the benefits of both. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, when they thinner, you get deeper in it. But when they thicker, you come quicker. Like, basically showing that everybody has, like, their advantages when, to him, based in sex.
I don't want to hijack your question, but an aside question to that I wanted to ask, like, about the stereotypes is, so that's a stereotype for women of size or feminine people of size in regards to sex. Do you feel like there are stereotypes in regards to sex for masculine people of size? Like, oh,
yeah,
you need wild pussy.
Oh, absolutely. They always, like, think what? I can, like, pick up the world. Like, yeah, you're big. But I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm also big, too, though. So I have to carry my own weight. So it's like, yeah, like, my legs are really small. So
the football player legs?
I mean, they're really small. So, like, so what happens is, like, I'll pick them up, and it's like, wait a minute. Like, this isn't going to work because that's, like, a combined 500 pounds. Because I wear my weight well. So people usually don't think I weigh as much. But I've, like, I weigh 295 now, and that's the first time I've been under 300 pounds since I was, like, 15 playing football. So, like, last year I was, like, 365. So I'm 70 pounds down. And I haven't been, like, trying anything, though. So it's kind of weird because people keep coming up to me like, are you losing weight? And I'm like, oh, I'm just stressed. Like,
another tangential question. Why did you clap just now?
Oh, no, because me and him had a conversation. I wasn't congratulating him based off of the fact that he lost weight just because. It's because me and him had a conversation about losing weight.
Exactly.
Because I lost 40 pounds and he congratulated me.
Exactly.
We're both doing that.
All right, I'm just being a journalist. I'm just being a journalist. Other sex stereotypes?
I would say just as a masculine person. No, I'm just going to say a dyke because that's just me. Like, as a dyke, you know, people, when I think about the weight, as I've gotten older and, like, grown into this womanly body, I think there's just a lot of issues I have with that too, because, like, as I've grown into my womanly body, I've identified less and less as woman. Like, I don't even identify as woman anymore, so it's hard dealing with all of that, like, in sexual situations. Like, hey, you don't want to suck my titties, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know. But in the fact that I've gained weight, I've found that women are more attracted to my actual, like, my body, than they'd be like, they just be looking at me like, mm-mm-mm, them thighs. And I'm like, okay. Like, nice. They just be like, mm-mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? But that never has happened before. Like, I've never had women actually fuck with my body before. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Do you like it?
I like the fact that they fuck with my body. I don't like the fact that it's this body that they're fucking with, if that makes any sense. I feel like I need to make some modifications first.
Like what?
Well, I definitely want to get top surgery. And, you know, I definitely kind of want to, like, tone my body up, you know what I'm saying, so it could just look the way, like, it's not even about losing weight. It's just about kind of getting things toned the way that I want.
Is it in an effort to look more masculine?
Absolutely. Okay. It is absolutely an effort to look more masculine, for sure. Because that's just kind of how I view myself in outwardly. You know, when I see myself, I see definitely, you know what I'm saying, Little Fizz teddy bear. I do.
The proximity to Fizz.
I'm so triggered right now. But
it's the factor.
But I think representation is key. And in the last year, Big Nigga Season has went into full steam ahead. And I want to give a shout out to the homie M'Baku, because I feel like he was, like, the catalyst of Big Nigga Season to, like, really become, like, that thing. Because when Black Panther dropped, M'Baku had the joints. Like, they was saying they want him over Killmonger, and I was like, for real? Because I can tell, like, he's a big dude. He's, like, at least 6'5", like, 300 pounds. So that was the first time I ever seen a big man lusted over. And he even said it. He said black women cured his insecurity. So I thought that was real dope.
I want to give a quick shout out to piggyback off what he said, even to, like, whoever started that hashtag big nigga Twitter.
I don't know if y'all paid attention to, like
oh, man. I was like, yo, like,
good times.
Like, you know, granted, like, a lot of dudes was getting, like, represented and, like, getting praised. I'm like, yo, this is just them showing, like, pictures, like, of them. Like, granted, I guess there was, like, qualifications. You have to have the beard and height, but, like, they showing their whole height and their whole body. So it was, and, like, women was just, like, praising them and, like, oh, look at you. I'm like, yeah, this is him. Like, I'm sure you passed him in the street. You just didn't pay nothing, like, no attention, because, like, now other people's all giving him validation, and you see yourself just, like, jumping in and, like, oh yeah. So
I feel like height has to do with all of that.
Absolutely. Is that when right. you scruffled your face at M'Baku?
Yeah, because M'Baku is, like, what you would, like,
I said, he's tall, dark, and handsome.
Like, exactly, he's tall, dark, and handsome.
Big nigga season breaking the mold.
No, that's not. I don't think that's big nigga season, though. I don't think. I think that's brawling nigga season. Like, big nigga season is like, I'm gonna take this roll, I'm gonna slap it on a kitchen table.
Watch the beginning of Black Panther when he came out without a shirt. He's a big nigga. Like,
nah, he's a big nigga, but I don't consider him fat.
Because he flies. I'm trying to tell you, man, confidence is key.
Nah, his role. He don't have
man boobs. He don't have roles.
So if we do place this back into the context of fat, whether or not you identify as such, I don't think anybody would call M'Baku fat.
At all.
at all.
What is fat?
No.
Huh? I would say, what is fat?
That's a really good question. So that kind of makes me think of a point that we kind of touched on in the femme episode where, like, the women of size who are kind of like, oh, that's a bad bitch, is kind of like Ashley Graham. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. She's a supermodel, a plus size model, but she doesn't have roles. It's just like she's just bigger. She's literally just a larger woman, but I wouldn't consider her fat.
That's who they think of when they think of like big, like, oh, I want me a big fine. Yeah. That's what you want. That's what you want. You don't want, you know what I'm saying, Jill Scott 10 years ago. I want Jill Scott 10 years. I want Jill Scott now. Jill Scott, I want you now. But you know what I'm saying? You don't. Yeah. That's not who they talk about. Angie Stone. And I'm like, I'm going with like famous icons that I know who are big women doing it in the game. Shit, they wasn't fucking with Jennifer Hudson. Now they fucking with Jennifer Hudson. They wasn't fucking with Jennifer Hudson. That's not what you consider a big fine. I don't think. I don't know.
I think that fat just like has this negative connotation to it. And if when people generally refer to fat people, it means like they have to find some reason to find you attractive or they're finding something to like about you. So I don't think you should rob anybody of their fatness. Like, I've dated people that feel like they'll say they're fat. And to me, I'm like, you ain't as fat as me, but I can't take your fat feeling away from you. If you feel like you're fat, if you're unhappy with your body or whatever reason you identify as fat, then you are fat by all means. I think in general, society uses the term fat negatively. When the plus size models are out, they're plus size models, or they're big girls, or they're something else, but they are not fat. They're curvy. They're other things, but the word fat in itself is not something that's usually used in a positive way. So I think it's just the perception of your fatness, which makes you fat.
See, I don't really judge like or call people fat. I'm just doing strictly like BMI. Like, if it's the BMI, like, if it's your BMI, basically, all right, you're overweight by these standards. That, and that's what I would classify as big. So maybe that's why I see people like, okay, that's a big nigga, you know, because I can tell. But with me, the only thing that bothers me, I don't like thick for masculine men. Leave our masculinity alone. Don't call us thick, ma. So yeah, I feel like that's been happening a lot lately.
Why do you feel like thick takes away from your masculinity?
Because I've always called women thick. So I to me, it's something that I've always looked at with women. So I don't know. I feel like women have taken the power back from it. And you know, it's cute every now and then, but it's weird for me. Like when I hear it, because I'm just like, is that a compliment? Because, I mean, I've never called a woman thick to her face because I don't think that's a compliment. So if I think a woman's thick, I'm attracted to thick women. But usually when you say, like, okay, you're thick, I don't know, like, what's, like, how she's feeling about her weight. She might take that offensive. So to me, in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's thick as a motherfucker. But I'm not going to say it. So, like, I hear that a lot. Like, I get called thick all the time. I'm just like, okay, like. Yeah, it usually comes with like a zaddy or something attached to it, but
that's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
But I just don't know how to accept it. Like, okay, thank you.
Do you feel objectified?
Yeah, I definitely feel objectified.
Isn't that hot though? That feeling of objectification, like, ooh.
Yeah, I feel like that's checking your. I feel like that might be checking your masculinity, and I think that's. I like that women are doing that. I like that women are making cis hetero men uncomfortable in conversations like this, because that's what we do to them and what we've been doing to them since the beginning of fucking time. We didn't, like, we're now just starting to think about shit like that. So when a woman calls me like, oh, you know what I'm saying, okay, I see that ass, I'm like, all right, bet, like, I got you, like,
it's like a race to who can be trash first. Like, women want to street harass just as much now. Like, hey, sweatpants, come in, nigga. Like,
has that ever actually happened to you? Like,
who, me? Like, I don't want to say what seriously happens because it doesn't bother me, because, like, you know, it is what it is. But since, like I said, since Big Nigga Season, like, has come into effect, like, things have changed, yes. And women are, maybe it's the internet. I think the internet, because there's so much anonymous people, like, looking at you from everywhere. You have people from all over the world. You're somebody's type everywhere. So it's so much easier to get love now. So all you have to do is go online and, okay, yeah, you might not get any love from anybody in this room, but somebody, like, down the street might see you and they like you. So, you know, it's not really, like, a thing to me.
Black women are trying to find... that when I say women, I'm saying women with all femme women, like all of them. And I think as they find a way to take back their power and reclaim their, like, they were always there, but like really reclaim themselves socially and make sure that they're heard and seen, however they need to go about that, it's my job to assist in that way. Like, it's my job to help them figure it out, you know, because in the end, like, even if it's like, oh, you know, the whole men are trash thing, how like a lot of men are like feeling really like feeling a type of way about it, it's just like, well, you know, you guys, this is your narrative, this is your story, and who am I to like take anything from you? Now if I say like, yo, I really appreciate it if you didn't say that I was thick and they still call me thick, that's another story. But you know what I'm saying, like if they're really trying to intentionally disrespect me, but if they're trying to reclaim their space, you know what I'm saying, then it's my job to kind of move to the side and let, like, personally, this is me, like, move to the side and let them reclaim their space and their time.
But is anyone comfort worth your uncomfortable though?
Like, yes.
Like, I don't feel that way. Like, I feel like I learned from women to be better. So if you expect for me to be better, I like, you know, we all got to be better. Like, I don't want you to do what was done to you, because then you're the same.
I kind of feel like as a masculine woman that I have to make way for feminine women, and I don't think it's my role. I think that men should do it because they are perceived as men at the forefront. I'm perceived as masculine, which I'm secondary to, I guess, a man, technically. And I think that it's up to masculine people to make way for feminine people, because feminine people are at the bottom of the ladder in society. So it is hard sometimes. Like, you talking about the little fizz factor, soft hair niggas, and I feel like I'm sitting here with this twists, and I'm just like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I feel like you got to eat that shit because you just want to make other people feel comfortable. And at the end of the day, like, people have it hard in the society. Like, somebody's going to tell their story and they're going through way more than I'm going through. And I'm going to eat this little insult right now, whatever it is right now, if it's going to make somebody feel better in the long run. So you do got to be uncomfortable sometimes.
So I wanted to go back to whether or not y'all date bigger femmes, because I think only two people answered.
One person answered.
I keep doing that.
Everyone says that I have a type, and so my type just has not shown up to be bigger femmes. It just hasn't been, and I don't necessarily know why. Like, you know, it could be some internalized shit that I haven't unlocked and like paid attention to. I have like bigger femme friends. I find big femmes attractive, but we just never end up being, and maybe they don't approach me. I don't, like, we're weird because, like, you know, some women approach me, like, in the queer community. Like, it's not really like, oh, I'm looking for a masculine person to approach me all the time, you know? So to answer the question, no, I haven't. And that's really interesting, like, to figure out why.
With my luck, I haven't actually had, like, I guess, I'm open to like dating a bigger woman, but I just didn't like had none that was like attracted to me. I was like only had like 27, only had like three like legit girlfriends like throughout my life, from high school to like 2 years ago, and they always like been like maybe that average shape, like, which is just like shocking because it's like, yo, me being this big nigga like pulling in like, you know, somebody who's like slim to average, and it was just like shocking. So, but I never down any, like, you know, like a bigger woman, but I at least to my knowledge, I never like, you know, knew of any like particularly like me or whatever.
Well, I'm like a legit mama's boy, and I literally date women that look like my mom's. She was a very solid woman, light skin, and that is the woman I go for, a nice solid woman, whatever size, whatever that may be. As of recent, I've been dating more thick-thighed women, because I find that they have a better thrust than others. And I do, you know, I just, you know, whoever's gonna, you know, take care of business. I am a larger person. It's not that easy to maneuver my bottom. And if you can, that is what I go for. So that stocky build, that strong, that strength, that raw energy is what I look for. And
that was very sexual.
Right, that thrust though.
I'm an Aries. I do like walks in the hood. The deli is one of my favorite spots to just chit chat, you know, grab a Four Loko, make love, and that's me.
So. That's funny. So before, we had mentioned like the summer body and you're going to take whatever you're going to get or whatever. Does anybody have like intentions of weight loss? If so, why?
Now I've been doing it because it just happened. Like I had to present at a conference a couple months ago. and I put on my blazer and I was like, wait a minute, it doesn't fit. So I kind of went and stepped on the scale and I was like, did I lose 50 pounds? And I didn't like notice. And I didn't really change anything. Like, only thing, I just started drinking water. I drank a lot of water. And it's just, it added a lot of benefits to my life. Like, I have more energy. A lot, like, everything just improved. My skin cleared up. Like, well, I never really had bad skin, but it's even better now. So with me, I decided, okay, let me, since the ball already started rolling, let me be intentional with it now. So now I talk to my brother. He's a personal trainer. You know, he tells me what to eat because he eats, like, terrible things because he doesn't eat for taste. And I'm just the opposite because, like, I'll eat one meal a day, but it has to taste good. And, yeah, he's like, he'll eat six meals a day, and it's, like, nothing. So,
is that for health purposes or aesthetic purposes or both?
For both. Well, I'm not really even aesthetic because, like I said, I've never been lonely. But it's more of health now because I do feel better. Like, when I wake up, I do feel better. I do have more energy. Like, I can thrust better, you know what I mean? So I get it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I want to lose weight only for health reasons and convenience because I have to shop online most of the time. So I would love to walk into Rainbows. Like, you know, I ripped my shirt. Let me run in Rainbows and get a top real quick. That would be a blessing to be able to just stop in somewhere and just get something to throw on. That's one of the reasons. I'm like, if I could be a 3X God, I'm cool with that shit. Like, just bring me to a 3X and we good. That and, you know, I can't deny I be tired of shit a lot of the times. And I do know that's contributed to my size. So, in my opinion, it's whatever size I get to and I start feeling the way I want to feel, I'm going to stop right there. I'm cool with that shit, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I had plans on losing weight. I got a lot of clothes I need to fit again. Like, I'm not buying it. I told myself I'm not buying it. I'm not buying new clothes unless, like, it's like, oh, I got to have it. Like, I'm not buying new clothes. I'm not doing this thing again where I just keep buying up sizes until it fits. Like, I'm going to get back to the weight that I was where I could fit all these fly ass clothes that I have, and that's just really all that I care about, you know. But also, like, you know, piggybacking on just feeling better, I feel like I've always pretty much felt like shit, so I don't really, but I can definitely, one thing I can know for sure is when I was thinner, I have definitely more energy. So I definitely want to get back to like having specifically more energy and being active. And my knee hurts now. Like,
yep. That's age though.
Yeah, I don't know. But it could, I feel like it also could be like weight too. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're right.
You know, certain things about your body, you know, you land on things, you're like, whoa. Like,
yeah, like it just doesn't help. It just doesn't help. It's not like maybe that's not the cause, but it just doesn't help that you're also.
Right, right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Just like, you know, what all three of them said. It was just like more so one, health reasons. Two, I noticed myself, like, again with the like aching, like, what body parts, I'm like, yo, something's not right. So I'm like, I noticed, like, when I do like go on this like little, I guess I want to say maybe week or two like cleanse of my body, like trying to like lose weight and whatnot, and when I do like lose like maybe about five to six pounds, I notice like, oh, now my joints feel better, whatever the case may be. I just recently was a part of a wedding party, and the pictures came out, and I just like didn't like the way I like kind of look. So I'm like, nah, I definitely need to lose weight. Now it's come to the point where I was just talking about this with my therapist the other day. It's like, do I want to lose weight just to please society, or do I want to lose weight just for me? And so like that's what I'm battling like right now. Cause I'm like looking for like, do I want to take the quick way and get like the surgery and stuff? Cause I already like, you know, seen doctors and like consultants about it. Or do I want to do it like the natural way, like work out and like, you know, start eating healthy. So that's what like I'm battling right now. But like eventually before I turn 30, I want to be at a decent size to me where I feel like my body should be at. And, like just like be healthy and happy.
Do you all feel like there is any specific intersection of being a bigger person? And I mean, obviously there's an intersection, but does it come across in your life being a bigger person and being a black person? Being a bigger person, a masculine person, and a black person?
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm massive. So I know when I walk into a room, I do intimidate people. And sometimes I do it on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, it can be like a defense mechanism. Like when I'm walking down the street, like I make sure like I look like you don't want to fuck with me. You know what I mean? And I do I will get extra close to you. Cause like, yeah, let me show that I am bigger than you. Like, let me show like who I am. Like, just in case you want to like think something different. So yeah, it's definitely like, definitely. Absolutely.
It's funny. Cause I feel like people be trying to play me now more cause I'm bigger. Like they just view me as like one big happy teddy bear or something like that. Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like they don't really take me as seriously as they did when I was skinnier. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, it's just so crazy because it's hard for me to, the intersection is real, like, between age and weight, like, for me. So I don't, but, like, before when I was younger and skinnier, people weren't really, they would not fuck with me. They wouldn't, you know. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, it's more like, oh, it's Joe. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like I'm a goofball, like, you know, and I've always been a goofball, but, like, that's it. Like, I'm a goofball and I will not throw hands. So when I do, and I do, it's like, they're like, you know, they can't even, they would never suspect that I'd be coming at they next like I do. And I'm just like, why would you think I'm not going to check you for your shit right now? And the only thing I could think of is my weight. That's the only thing that's really changed, you know, so.
Yeah, it's really, really odd. Like, when I hang out with other women, a lot of times guys will, like, pump me and brush past me hard, and I'm like, this is not my girlfriend. We're hanging out, we're cool, but it's like a challenge almost. Like, this is in black spaces most usually. It's just a lot of aggression towards me, and it's like, I'm most likely to suck your dick than she is. So it's like, you need to, like, I don't know why you're treating me like this. Like, I'm cool as fuck. Like, I'm down for whatever, and but you treating me, you know, it's weird. And then, like, on the flip side, like, I work in retail with white people. And so many people find me intimidating, but white people always ask me questions first. They're just, like, first to come to me, like, oh, my God, can you help me? And I'm like, I'm so big. I have all these tattoos. I'm usually frightening, yet I'm the first person you want to address for help, for comfort. Like,
that's when I was saying that, I meant white people, specifically white people. Yeah, I don't get that with black niggas. Always try me, always on, and that's that masculinity shit. They always try me, but white people, what? Like, it's like I'm fucking like Queen Latifah. Like, they just love me, and I'm just like, what? I will literally slap you. Like, get the fuck, like
the Queen Latifah proximity.
I would rather, I prefer that over Lil Fist proximity.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't understand. It's just like, I seem so approachable. I don't, is it the big titties? Is it the mammy thing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe it is because maybe they're perceiving you as
that
feminine.
Mammy shit.
That's the only thing that I can think of.
It's definitely like being this like 6'1", whatever, tall, big nigga. It's like, it's definitely like very weird, like, especially being around like black, big, and being around the cops. Like, I feel like they feel like I'm trying to size them up, where I'm really just trying to, you're standing on the corner and I'm trying to get into the store that you're standing in front of, so like, get out of my way. So it's, and like, I just see like, I notice later they just like straighten up, like trying to like size me up and like get on like big buff and puff their chest. So it's like, I'm just like really just trying to get to my destination, and you're like, you're getting in my way. But like, it's kind of hard, like, being like, you know, the big nigga, and then like, you know, feeling like intimidated, especially by these guys in blue. Yeah.
Online dating. Does anybody do it?
Oh boy.
Weird segue.
I'm gonna tell you right now, that shit.
Online dating.
When I did online dating, now that's where I saw the big difference. Nobody's fucking with me online. Nobody's fucking with me online.
And I feel like then, only people that fuck with me online.
Nah, nobody's fucking with me
online. Like, yeah,
nobody's
I'm
fucking with me.
I'm dorky as shit. So yeah. I have no game whatsoever. Yeah. My game
but
is so trash.
I think this is compared to.
Compared
oh,
to
game. Who I was before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, before, I'm talking about.
Said, oh, you got gay.
But like, before, it was definitely, I looked completely different. Well, I mean, as far as size is concerned, and I definitely, I'm talking about compared to like, and my former past used to conflate my value with women and how many women I fuck. So on like old me, I could easily fuck 3 women a night. Compared to now, it's just like one.
It's just one a night. One, I mean, come on.
No, but like, man.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like,
I mean, but like,
I'm triggered. I'm triggered as fuck.
It was just
only one a night. Like, so skinny like, people like, fuck 3 people a night.
What's the
like,
spectrum?
But it's a little fizz factor. I'm trying to tell you, but
a little
fizz factor. One every, not every night. Like maybe one now. I get like maybe I could fuck one a week. compared to, like, you know what I'm
that
saying, when I was younger.
No,
it's terrible. What you mean? I'm fucking one girl a week? Are you kidding me? That's devastating to me. That's like, that's not what I'm used to. That's not what I'm used to having. And that's not what I'm used to. And, you know, I could definitely tell a difference. Yeah.
Anybody else online dating experiences?
It's definitely a, like a sometimes like a roller coaster type of experience. Like one minute, like I'm up, like, you know, like women is like, you know, fucking with me and like, you know, hitting me up or whatever. Next minute is like, oh, it's like I haven't, like, you know, gotten a like or whatever the case may be in like 2 or 3 days, or nobody swiped right on me. And then I noticed, like, you know, when I started like changing my profile picture a lot, like it was like a lot of up close. Like, cause, you know, like, again, wasn't kind of comfortable, like, with my body, showing my body, until like I started showing like full, like, you know, all of me. And then next thing you know, I started getting hit up more, like, oh damn, how tall are you? This, that, and the third. So it's like, it definitely has its pros and cons.
You said the angles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't do online dating. I feel like everyone treats each other like serial killers. It's much easier to talk to people in person. And I get it, because the world is full of trash people, so you do have to like keep your head on the swivel. But when you value yourself as like a genuine person, like, it's kind of offensive to even be spoken to like that. So instead of, like, you know, using it against them, just I understand why they do it, and I don't do it.
Yeah, I would say 9 out of 10 of my sexual encounters were from online.
Yeah, I mean, now I feel like if most of the girls that I fuck from online, but it's just decreased. I'm an internet baby. From MySpace to Downlink to Facebook to Twitter and now Instagram. I was always fucking girls off.
Bro, what app are you on that you get in 3 a night though?
No, Downlink. Yo.
Downlink.
Never heard of
they
it.
Don't you have don't know Downlink? So?
Yeah, it's yo.
I also
magical,
don't
a magical, mystical place. Oh. It's like gay, gay MySpace.
From a long time ago.
It's not happening anymore. But then
I met my first girlfriend on Downlink, and we dated for like 5 years.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Yeah. I was just running through.
Different experiences.
But I would have loved to.
But then for Twitter, like, Twitter was like, psh, yeah, like, Twitter, whoa.
I was going to say for you, Joe, or Yusuf, is it all, is just the apps, or you don't talk to people on Instagram? Like, what generation are you
like,
in?
not courting.
Okay.
Yeah, like not courting.
What's that?
Wait, so you'd rather like meet people in real life than
I do better.
Bro, it's like you go outside, bro.
Did you feel like your humor shine?
Can we do a reenactment? Well, I just want to take notes.
Like I said, this is the thing. I'm really funny and I got game, so I do better in person.
Gotcha.
I do a lot better in person, because then you can get the energy off me, because sometimes you might not catch my sarcasm and stuff like that through text. So, like, for me, like, it works better in person.
I sealed a deal in person.
Serial killer.
Like, you fucking with me when you see me. Like, I just know it, you know. But I can fuck with that. And that's how I am now. Like, even now as I'm getting more involved in these spaces, how my hits declined online. When I started to get more involved in these spaces and meeting, you know, women that were more, like, into the shit that I was into, then numbers went back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I was in person. Mm-hmm. They had to see me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you look different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just take compliments at face value. Like you said, like, do I talk to people on Instagram? Like, I get likes and people say things, or someone will slide in my DM and I'm just like, oh, I just take it as it is. Like, face value. Like, okay, thank you. Because I used to leave a lot of compliments. Like, I like to make people feel better. If a couple words can put a smile on your face, I'm fine with that. So I'm always giving people compliments. So, like, it happens a lot more for me. I think it's because of the beard. I think definitely the beard. I'm not even gonna lie. Because once the beard came around, like, everything changed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No,
it's a whole new world.
I fuck with niggas with beard.
Yeah, so.
What'd you say?
I fuck with niggas with beards. I like, just on some attractive shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, if you got a, I'm actually don't find men attractive if they don't have beards.
I got 5 hairs on the right side, and I'm trying to like cultivate them, but like,
yeah, see,
they ain't doing it.
It's just those three brolic ones that
beards.
Grow right here.
I'm just letting them flourish right now.
Yeah. Lumberjack niggas is what I like. If I'm,
it's goals.
I'm mad that no one like told me, because I could have been grew my beard, like, and it's just like, once it became a thing, people were like, oh yeah, why don't you grow it out? I'm like, y'all like that? Like, y'all let me walk around with this like chin strap goatee all this time, like it was cool. So I want to blame all the women in my life, and I've they already know that, because I've said that to them personally. Y'all should have have been put me on game, but yeah, it is what it is.
I know a lot of trans people who, you know, they have issues with their beards as well. And, you know, like, I actually do know somebody who actually got beard implants.
And what is the process? Looks good of on that? Him. Like, is it like hair plugs but on your face?
Very expensive.
I can imagine.
But it is like hair plugs on your face. It's like $10 a follicle.
I would probably go the lace front route.
Yeah, lace front. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also, and he also did a lace front too. Mm-hmm. So
those look
they look good though. Yeah, I was like,
you can't tell.
So I mean, like, you know, I feel like, and you know, it's funny. I think women are a lot more accepting. Like, we're like, oh, they're not fucking with us because we ain't got no real beards. But then, like, you put it on, they be like, oh shit, okay. Like, I feel like women wouldn't be the type. They wouldn't really. I mean, obviously, you have some women who make fun of anything, but that's problems they got with themselves. But I feel like in general, women are yes, if you bald, wear a motherfucking lace front fade. Like, fuck it. Like, if you want a fucking beard, wear a fucking beard lace front. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
I think it's more about application. I feel like people accept anything that looks good.
Yeah.
Like, because people always try to slander weave, but I love a good weave. Like, you know, so yeah.
I mean, if you grow up, like, as a black woman getting box braids from when you're, like, 10 years old, you're gonna be like, okay, do whatever you gotta do. Yeah. Spend that money. So, for me, it's like, I would never knock a guy for putting in, like, a good toupee that's on there correctly or, like, a good lace front beard. As long as, you know, I don't have to see the seams or nothing like that, we good.
I'm gonna knock that guy, though, because I had to work hard and struggle and not have my beard, so... I will slander your.
Why
lace
are you slandering him for his innovative ways?
No, I'm just because I'm petty and I had to struggle, so
you're
I'm just
jelly.
Gonna, yeah, I'm just jealous. That's all.
This is a tangent. Does anybody remember that episode of America's Next Top Model where that nigga had a lace front beard?
Yes. I seen
it
the
was
memes.
So bad, and that's how
exactly.
It's the same thing. Like if you see anyone with a bad lace front, you're like, okay, if I can see the lace, then you're messing up.
Exactly.
But if it's seamless, I'm not knocking.
Exactly,
anybody.
Application is key.
The funny thing about that though was that was the first time I think a lot of us saw lace front beards, and then Tyra Banks was just like, "Oh my god, it looks wonderful." We were all just like,
"What season was that?"
When they introduced men in the show, it was like 7 or something like that. Yeah.
You're like, it's like 7 or 8.
It was episode 23.
Because there was no random number that it would just come out of there.
Yes.
Random.
You were just like, it was so 7.
She
was
watching it last night.
13 minutes and 52 seconds. Third episode, you know when, don't act like it. It was 7.
Episodes.
I love me some Top Model. What can
I mean,
say?
Shout out to my bro Keith Carlos. He was the first man to win America's Next Top Model.
Was that him?
Yeah,
was
Keith
that
Carlos.
Lace front beard
no,
guy?
It wasn't him.
Oh, damn. Well, we know why. But my last question is, do you think that because we are in this space of is it called body positivity? Is that what you would call it?
Like, yeah, it's just body positivity, body acceptance, no shaming, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's inclusive of masculinity presenting people? Like, do you think that it's more towards femmes where it's just like they're more mainstream, they're getting the plus size attention, or do you think that you're also included in that picture?
So actually, like, you know, before like coming here, I was like trying to do research just like, you know, for this particular question, and I noticed it's not a lot of like men who is like doing like, I think pieces, if that's what you want to call it, on like, you know, being like a big guy of size and whatnot. Like, at least from like the stuff that I was like researching, I didn't really see. I more so was like doing my research and like came across like a lot of like random Instagram pages like of guys like dressing nice and like big, like, you know, big guys dressing nice and whatnot. I noticed there's a lot of like, you know, think pieces for like women and you know, like on how they feel and whatever. And so then a question like came across to me, like, is it guys just like feeling like, you know, do they want to feel like weak, like sheltered, soft, emasculate, because because they don't want to talk about their feelings on how, like, what society perceive them, or if, like, you know, what other people perceive them, like family, friends, or like whatever. Because it's like there's not a lot of think pieces of what like guys think about this situation. And like, I'm happy y'all like having this discussion, because it's like it needs to be talked about for guys. Because you never know, like, you know, a big guy could be listening to this now, like, yo, I agree with you, sir. I agree with Joe. I agree with Dorothy. I was like, they could be like guys listening. So it's like, I feel like we need more of that.
I do think I understand what you're saying, but I was going to say, do you think that it needs to be in the same level as femme because of the fact that we did talk about that you guys have some inherent privileges that we've acknowledged already?
I mean, I find like as a masculine center lesbian, I kind of get lost in a mix because, you know, I'm not a man by society standards and I'm not a woman by society standards. So I just kind of like coast on the outside of, I have no, there's no rule book for how I should act. Like, I feel like there's no expectation of me or how I should be at any moment. So it's weird.
I think with the body, with like PC culture and the body positivity movement, I feel that the advantages have been towards the bigger feminine instead of the masculinity. Because, you know, I've always thought to myself, like, man, I've always been a fly nigga. Like, I want to make, like, clothes for big men. Because I like, you go into, like, a store and you go to the big and tall section, it's always the shittiest clothes. Like, it'll say something like Big Daddy across the front. It's always mad cheesy and shit. And it's like, nah, like, that shit is garbage. So, yeah, I've always felt like we were underrepresented, especially when it comes to fashion. And I feel like women, bigger women, have broken down those barriers first. And I think that's why that movement has been so empowering. So now I feel like it's time for, like, men to do that. Because, you know, we are scared to talk about our feelings. Like, because as I grow and as I evolve and I get better, those are things that I learn. Like, I'm learning to talk about my feelings, stuff like that. The problem is that men, once you learn that, you have to sit down with your toxic friends and break this down for them so that they understand that. Like, do it in a way so that, you know, you don't offend them, but still you have to, like, be stern with it. Because you do have to, you know, assert your masculine. Like, nigga, if you think this is a problem, I could still take it there. But let me tell you that I cried during Black Panther. But, you know what I mean? It's just something like that.
I think as far as there being, like, space for it, I think there always was space for it. I think there's always, I think it's funny because there's always space for men. There's always space for masculinity. And I think it's whether we, how we use the space is the most important thing to consider. Because no, I don't really know of many Black women who are in their right minds who would, because it's important, like just people, just many Black women who are in their right minds who would ever just see a Black man, a Black masculine person doing something and be like, ill. Like, it's just not really what it is. Like, I think in general, from the Black women that I know who are progressive and doing shit, like creating spaces for themselves, and, you know, they want the same thing for everybody, you know. And I think it's just about, like you said, like people being open to talking about it and being real about it. Like, hey, like, as a masculine person, it's hard for me to find, especially in a woman body, I can't wear men's clothes. It's really hard to find men's clothes that fit my body, but because men's clothes aren't built for niggas with thick thighs. Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Short niggas with thick thighs specifically. Like, that's not even a thing. So it's just, like, trying to find things that work for us. And I think if we were to speak more about it, obviously, but I don't think there needs to be a lane. The lane is there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you definitely just have to own it and take charge of it. Like right now, especially right, with my weight loss, I'm in an awkward stage where I don't fit my old clothes, but the clothes on the size down don't fit quite white. So, like, I've been doing, like, a lot of DIYs, like, with all my clothing. It's been working for me. You know, a lot of people have been asking me. I've been making shirts now. I've actually started getting the clothing, and it kind of works out. So I think it all, like, you just have to have that battery in your back. And I feel like I wouldn't have that battery in my back if it wasn't for people like Takara, you know, watching her on, like, America's Top Model. I thought she was the shit. You know, she was a little dramatic, but I thought, like, looks-wise, she was amazing. So, you know, that was, like, one of the first times I was, like, you know, like, I've always, like, bigger women, but like seeing her like be that like commanding and dominant around so many traditionally beautiful women was like a breath of fresh air.
Does anybody have any rapping words or anything like that?
As masculine people now, so we kind of just navigate this world trying to find where we fit in. It seems like, I think everybody's just trying to find where they fit in. I think it's really important, especially when speaking about like Black femmes, like just kind of how we're taking up the space and the type of things that we're demanding from them, and just realizing that their stories, whatever the story is a valid one. And it's taken a while for me to get to a point where I'm like actually listening to it and not listening, waiting for to say something. And like actually considering what it is that they're going to say and like taking it in and like making incremental changes in my life to make sure that I'm treating everybody the same, including myself, the same thing for all my friends and my fans too. So yeah, I think it's just important to just really be mindful of the space that you take up when considering weight, when considering race, and especially when it's intertwined together.
Yeah, I agree. As a masculine person of size, I think it's important to just check your friends, check your community, check everybody around you. When they consider you okay above other people, nah, I'm not. I'm fat too. I'm fat as the femmes are fat. I'm fat as everybody else is fat. Like, just check everybody around you. Let them know that, you know, look at me that same way. If you look at them negatively, look at me negatively. If you don't want to fuck with me because you don't fuck with them, I'm cool with that. Like, keep it. So I just think it's important to check your community. Check everybody, your closest friends, your mama, your father, everybody.
I just want to take this time to call out all the masculine black men. Like, do better. Like, I hate that these women have to go through these type of experiences because, like, y'all niggas is trash. So respect them. And, like, I'm sitting here triggered because I'm like, I wish somebody would say something to her when I was there. So, yeah, like, just do better. Like, protect your own. And that's for every woman. And that's whether it's trans or the LGBTQIA.
Hey,
So the whole community, like, make sure you hold it down. So that's for everybody. Each one teach one. So, yeah, hold it down and teach your men's and make them be better.
All of that, and at the end of the day, and don't forget to just to like continue to like love yourself, because it's like at the end of the day, you only have you, but like love yourself, protect yourself, and look out for yourself.
On top of that, to piggyback on loving yourself, I think it's really important to understand that what, and I can't believe I almost forgot this, but what fat is, what, especially being black and fat, the only reason you feel uncomfortable is because of fucking white supremacy. That's really the only reason, because if you, we are built different, we look different, black people hold weight differently. Don't listen and worry about them being my shit. Don't, like, I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor if your doctor's giving you orders, but I'm saying all this is held up to a white standard, and white standards don't hold weight here in black world. Like, it's just not a fucking thing. So don't sweat. Don't worry about what Kylie Jenner and all those other motherfucking skinny ass white surgical ass motherfuckers is doing.
I think that's always the message of every episode. Day. Yeah. We always
get here. Blame white supremacy. Because that's what it is.
It's always their fault, though. It really is their fault, though. Like, yeah. if you really follow all the steps back, it's their fault.
Yeah, that's white supremacy.
And with that, does anybody want to, like, give their social medias or anything like that? Or projects that you're working on?
I'm Frederick Douglass on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's it. I was the first one to have it. I don't got an underscore or nothing like that. Frederick Douglass, the originator.
Good.
I'm Despicable Me with a K, Kappa Shit, on Instagram. Follow me.
Hey, and your podcast.
Oh, follow The Perfect Cast on Instagram with a K as well.
And where can we listen?
You can listen on Apple, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. We're on our way to Spotify.
My name is Complex Black Boy. And then my platform is Black Boy Complex. You can follow those things on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. I'm also a DJ, so you can follow my SoundCloud and check all my mixes out at Black Boy Complex. So yeah, just follow me on there and keep a lot for all the different events and videos. Also on YouTube too, Black Boy Complex. So yeah.
Follow me on Twitter. I am _Rels with a Z at the end. On Instagram, it's I am Rel. Follow my podcast, The Cure Podcast, released every week almost. Follow CSL on Network's show I'm doing with previous guests to the show, Feast, The Petty Preachers, on YouTube. I think it's just CSL Network, or you can type in Petty Preachers. And I just have more projects and stuff coming.
What are your two podcasts about?
The Cure Podcast is about basically a pop culture podcast, and we interview guests and whatnot. So just think of like The Read and you guys, and we just all form one like little topic subject, and like talk about like what's going on in today's society, like the bullshit that's happening to today's society and with celebrities. And Petty Preachers is just me and Feast just coming together talking about like petty shit in society and like how it compared to us. And we talk about, like, you know, our personal lives and y'all getting a little bit of dose of who we are and more visual.
And did you say what Complex Black Boy was about, or Black Boy Complex?
So Black Boy Complex is a platform for queer, trans, bi, so pretty much LGBTQII community, masculine identified specifically. And so it's a platform so people can, you know, watch my YouTube videos. Today I had Complex Conversations. I just actually left that to come here. And today we talked about just a whole bunch of dope ass queer people doing dope ass shit. We talked about exploitation in the community, transphobic people, you know, just so many different topics and stuff. So yeah, but it's a platform so that masculine identified folks can come and like have a conversation and dissect what the fuck is going on.
Nice.
Yay.
Look forward to watching it.
Yes, please do.
Perfect cast. Make sure you guys check us out. We're three educated black men, and we just want to show the world that there are layers to us. Like, we do love anime, we do love manga, we do love hood shit. We are born in the projects. We have been raised. We do have degrees. It's different. And I think we have to, they've been trying to force us into this mold for so long, so we're trying to break that. So if you listen to us, you get a little bit of everything. So yeah, check us out.
Cool. Great episode, guys. Thank you. You want to take some pictures together?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to take some shots together?
Yeah.
That was such a great episode.
It was good. It was very good to hear it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. It was like less emotional than the Fat Femme episode, but also like very real and
yeah.
very on point.
I appreciate all of them opening up.
Yeah.
And sexy people, you know.
Yeah, it was a lot of energy.
I felt like Dorothy was very funny.
I loved. I literally hugged him and was like, yo.
Yeah,
you're too. Amazing. But yeah, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so on
Uprising.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you
find
can
me
do
on
so.
Our social media.
I'm trying to speed this up, nigga. Okay. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us on Twitter on Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter. And Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram. And Facebook with the G, innerhoeuprising.com to pay a bitch or to check out merchandise. Mm. And if you would like to follow me specifically, my page is temporarily public and it is Rebby or not. I just want to see how many people I can add. So you can add me and I will not have to, you know, approve it.
Slam Rid, Instagram and Twitter. Fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more. Bye.